Well, good morning and welcome to everyone on this beautiful new day the Lord provides for us. This is the day the Lord has made. Praise God for the miracle and the gift of life and the honor to be able to live another day of life on this earth and to begin our day here together in worship. And we praise God for most of all the blessings of faith. Well, we welcome everyone. We especially welcome our visitors with us today, and we would invite everybody to sign in on what we call the fellowship pad. It's at the far left end of each pew in front of you, and just to let us know that you're here worshiping with us. And especially for our visitors, if you would like us to follow up with you in any way, you can indicate that on that form, and we'll try to get in touch with you very soon. Angela, I think you have an announcement this morning.
I actually have three. Good morning. My first is that today's the last day to order Mother's Day bouquets from the youth. These forms are right outside in the narthex to the right, and they are $10 for a five rosebud bouquet, and you can pick them up next week. Checks or cash are just fine, and the checks can be made up to Trinity Lutheran Youth. But thank you. Second announcement. If you are still willing to make meals for Jan and Alvy Roth, please talk to Christy Coonsey. And was she able to come home this last week? Okay, she is home. So Christy Coonsey is the one to talk to about providing some meals for them, getting on the list. And the third thing is that this Tuesday evening at 6:30 is the school spring musical, Jack and the Beanstalk. So it looks like it will be a lot of fun. So if any of you would like to come and watch the kids have a little entertainment along the way, that would be wonderful. 6:30 on Tuesday night. So thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Angela.
A couple other things. There is the open gym basketball that has just started up, and that's going to be on Mondays from 6 to 7:30 in the evening over at our school gym. And for men and women, so if you want to come out and get some exercise and do it in that way, that would be wonderful. So just for you to know, every Monday evening, 6 to 7:30. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. So for all of us who are blessed to have our mothers still with us on this earth, don't forget your mom's next Sunday. And in light of that, too, every year, the Pregnancy Resource Center here in Greeley, they have a baby bottle campaign. And so on Mother's Day, we hand out the plastic baby bottles, and the idea is to fill those up with money and to bring them back, and that offering is given to support then the Pregnancy Resource Center that does just a phenomenal job here in Greeley. And we run that campaign between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And so just a heads up, that'll start next week. Some of the extra flowers that we have here this morning, we thank Donna Hanselman and her family as they are sharing those with us in worship after the funeral for her husband, Paul, was here yesterday. And so we thank them for that. Well, this morning we come to worship, and the order of worship for this service is matins. And there's a lot of singing in this service, and if you're not familiar with it, you may want to refer to the hymn books. Page 219 in your hymnals is where that service begins. And everything will be presented on the screen as well. And so we begin with the opening hymn.
Oh,
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in His hand. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hand formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship Him. May be seated. Thank you.
Our first reading this morning on the sixth Sunday after Easter comes from Acts 10, verses 34 to 48. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all of Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he had rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and of the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. And this is the word of the Lord. Second scripture this morning comes from 1 John 5:1-8. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ and has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And I would invite the congregation to rise as we honor our holy gospel for today. And that gospel comes to us from the Gospel of St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Our reading begins at verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. And this is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated now, and I would invite the children to come forward today for the special children's message.
Too. I just love all the big smiles that I see from you guys, the high fives, the hugs. It is so neat to have all of you be my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think that that is so special to have our church family, that we love each other and get to have fun with each other. And that's just such a special thing to share that love that God shared with us too. So I'm going to pick on somebody, and she probably would be embarrassed, but you know, Virginia's mommy shows love to our teachers here at school and gives us birthday treats every time on our birthday. And it is so neat when there's a birthday to walk into our staff room and find cupcakes or brownies or a cake or a pie. It is so neat that she uses her gifts that God gave her to make yummy food to share it with us, and I just really appreciated that. And in fact, she bought me a coffee on Friday morning. That was so sweet, too. And there are so many people that do nice things for each other. Yeah, you like drinks too. Yeah. And that's one way we can show love, right? Have you done something nice for somebody this week? Anybody think of something you want to share? Or that somebody did something nice for you? What do you think? It's hard to remember. Did somebody do something nice for you this week? Your teacher gave your class lightsabers for May the 4th day on Friday. Yes, that was fun. Tirza. Grandma and Grandpa took you to your soccer game yesterday. Yes, and they cheered for you, I bet. Y'all go, Tirza, go. So that's what we do, right? Because we love each other. And Jesus tells us, love each other like I've loved you. Now, can we ever love each other like Jesus has loved us? We can't exactly, because what did Jesus do for us? Yeah, he came down, he lived a perfect life and died on the cross and rose again too on Easter. Now, he forgave our sins because of his death on the cross. Now, that's not something he's telling us to do for each other, but he's saying, if you love me, you go out and love others. So that's something that you can think about today and this week and always, of how you can go share God's love with each other. Acacia? When your parents tuck you into bed, you feel very loved. Yes, that's definitely them showing that they love you. Yeah. So all those are such awesome ways that people show you that they love you. And you can go out and show other people too because of what Jesus did for us and how much God loves us. So I want to show you that I love you too. And I baked you all chocolate chip cookies last night. So I have some after church. I'll be out there. You come find me. And then when your parents say it's okay to eat it, you can eat it. But so come find me, and I have a chocolate chip cookie for you kids. Okay, can you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for creating us and this world. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and forgiving our sins. and rising again. Holy Spirit, be with us so we can share your love with everyone we meet. We love you, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You can come get a bag.
The congregation to stand as we sing responsibly the common responsory. You can find that on page 221. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation may be seated. This morning, I'd like us to go to John's first epistle, the epistle reading that we heard read this morning. And by the way, of course, we always would love to have you bring your Bibles and open them, but the words are printed out in the bulletin as well as the outline of this message this morning and the Bible references, so you don't have to worry about, oh, I want to write all those down. They're there for you. But I'd like us to begin by looking at the verses we have before us on the screen. As God inspired the Apostle John to write these words, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" And so here ends the text in the context of that whole reading this morning. But the theme that I hold before you today is living victoriously in Christ. And being saint and sinner as we are, and living in a very dark, sin-corrupted world in which we do, it puts us in somewhat of a precarious type situation. And maybe this picture will illustrate it a little bit. You know, salmon, they do something very odd. They swim upstream. They swim against the stream and the flow. And notice this: the placard on that picture, only dead fish go with the flow. And as you look at that picture, the dead fish I see as all those who are separated from Christ in this world. The unbelieving world goes with the flow of the world in all of its ungodliness, its rebellion against God. And we can picture the church as those salmon that are doing a very uncomfortable thing, swimming against the flow, swimming upstream. You know, it reminds me of Jesus in his high priestly prayer when he prayed for the church, acknowledging that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And that in and of itself is quite a peculiar position that we find ourselves in. And of course, in this context of world, world represents the unbelieving world. It represents the world separated from Christ, the world that is following its own sinful desires and following the deceptions of Satan. And in all of that, certainly seeking everything that is contrary to God's will. The world runs after a lot of things. And, you know, I think it's kind of interesting. You can read about this in Matthew chapter 4. But remember when Jesus was taken out in the wilderness and tempted by Satan? You know, in those temptations, I believe Satan was really revealing, you know, those things that we are most vulnerable to as human beings upon this earth. I mean, he was pulling out all the stops. He was confronting the very Son of God. He knew who Jesus was and is, and yet he still attempted to lead Jesus astray. And he did that first. Remember, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, extremely hungry. And then Satan says to him, "If you are the Son of God," isn't that interesting? So trying to get Jesus to question who he is. "If you are the Son of God, you can turn these stones into bread." Now imagine how tempting that would be for Jesus. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. He's very hungry, and he had the power to turn those stones into bread. But he didn't do it. He remained obedient to his Father in heaven. But in that, Satan really saying, "Here, you can have all the pleasures you want, Jesus. It's at your hands." Another one, remember then Satan takes Jesus up on the top of the temple, and he says, "You know, throw yourself down, and the angels will even hold you up and break your fall." And certainly there, Satan tempting Jesus to use the power that he knew Jesus had at hand, but using it in a way to go against God's will. And of course, again, Jesus refused to do that. And then remember, Satan takes Jesus and has him at a high point. He can see all the wealth of the world, all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, "You know, Jesus, I'll give this all to you if you just bow down and worship me." And so there's the wealth. And really, when you think about it, pleasure, power, wealth, and then you combine all of those with fame, those are really the key enticements, aren't they, of what the world attempts us to believe that it has to offer. And yet, apart from Christ, we could not overcome any of these things. We are so vulnerable. We are so weak in our sinful condition that we cannot, by our own power and strength, overcome these enticements, if you will, of the world. And God is very straightforward with us in his word. Praise him that he does inform us about warning us about these enticements, because they'll destroy us if we embrace them. And so we go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, and Jesus says, or through John, God says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Wow, that's strong language, isn't it? And so the warning about not loving the world, and loving the world means we're putting it in first place. We're putting the world before God and his will for our lives. So the warning, do not love the world. Romans 12:2, God inspired the Apostle Paul to write these words, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Boy, isn't it an enticement just to conform with the world? You know, I don't want to get into a confrontation with someone. I don't want to look bad by refusing to participate with them if they're doing something that is ungodly. It'd be so much easier just to conform and go along with the flow. But God's warning, do not be conformed. And then in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus spoke these words, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Wow, that's quite a question, isn't it? You know, that and the world has a lot to offer, at least it says it does, and we see it flaunted before our eyes all the time. And yet Jesus is saying, is that all worth more than your soul? Is that all worth more than having the blessings of salvation and everlasting life? Interesting question, very pointed as a warning to the world, to you and me. Well, Jesus holds his church up in prayer as well, as I mentioned. That's in the world, not of the world. And in that prayer, Jesus prays these words, "I do not ask you that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Interesting. So Jesus acknowledging our vulnerability in his prayer, that we as Christians are in the world, but that God would protect us from this world in which we live. And of course, we know that the corruption is not by God's creation. He created everything perfect, right? But it's through the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and all the generations to follow that has brought this evil, this darkness, this world that is so in rebellion against God who has created all of us. But in this prayer, Jesus really revealing to us our vulnerabilities as saint and sinner. And so I just throw that question out to you this morning, as I do to me. Do you recognize your vulnerabilities? We all have them. We're all more vulnerable to different things than others, to different temptations than others. Do you know what those are in your life? I know what they are in mine. And you know, it's important for us to recognize those vulnerabilities. Because where do you think Satan perhaps is going to attack the harshest? He knows where our weaknesses are. And he's going to go after us in our areas of vulnerability. Now, I think about myself and the battle that goes on within, but I'm blessed to have God's word. I'm blessed to have the Spirit dwelling within me, as you are as a child of God. But I think about, what about our children? And it was, Angela, it was so wonderful to have all the little ones up here this morning, and I with you, praise God that they're here today, because they are being brought up in the Word of God. And so when they're sent out into the world, they're going to be equipped. But I think about all the homes where Christ is hardly mentioned. Homes where the Word of God is virtually an unknown. And then these kids go out into a world, and I mean, they're toast. There's nothing in their own power and strength that they can do to overcome the world just consuming them with its pleasures, with the desire for power and wealth and success by worldly standards. Think about that as a parent, as grandparents. I mean, just sending our kids out without equipping them, it's kind of like going to that stream and throwing our two-year-old in and saying, hey, you just got to figure it out. You got to figure out how to swim. What parent would do that to their child? And yet, so many families, so many households are sending their kids out into a world that's going to destroy them because they are not equipped, especially with the gift of faith. You know, I was listening to one of the Christian radio stations, and they were talking about how people in their 40s, that's some of our toughest years on the earth. So for anybody in 40 that's 40 or in that decade of your life, you can talk to me after church, see if it's true. But I think as we think about it, we've all gone through some of those midlife crises types things. But anyway, the summation on this radio discussion was that in our 40s, we begin to compare ourselves. We look around and we begin to compare ourselves with the successes of other people around us. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting, because then we have to define, what does success mean? And generally, when we hear that word success, oh, right away, it's wealth, right? It's power. It's having every pleasure, every toy that is offered in the world. It's having fame, the things the world is running after. Those come to mind immediately, but in God's eyes, that's not success at all. You know, yesterday we had the funeral for Paul Hanselman, and one of the things that Paul said at the last days of his life, in the midst of great suffering, he said, "I am so filled with joy, I could just pop." And I just love that. I'm going to hang on to that term for the rest of my life, that quote. But there's success in the eyes of God. But whenever you hear that word, what comes to your mind? Because really, whatever comes to your mind is going to be definitive of the main things that you value in your life. Living victoriously in Christ, so necessary that we realize our vulnerabilities in the world in which we live, but even more so, living in our faith. And don't you just love the words of 1 John 5, verse 4, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." Boy, what a statement. God just puts it out there. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. God empowers you and me through the faith that he has given to us to be able to overcome the world, because we are equipped and we are empowered with this new life that he has given to you and me. And it comes through the waters of baptism as God calls us into his kingdom through the Holy Spirit. It comes through hearing the word of God as God changes hearts from unbelief to faith. This is all God's doing. We cannot contribute anything to it. In fact, we would be running away from God still if God had not reached out to us through these means of grace. And he has called us into his family, into the kingdom of grace, and we are greatly blessed. And all made possible, as we see in verse 5 of this text, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Isn't that interesting? Satan's confronting Jesus in those temptations, if you are the Son of God. And now look at these words before us. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. In verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Believing that he is the Son of God, we know the great work that Jesus has accomplished, that only he could do. And this is kind of when you first read verse 6 in this text, you may think, what in the world is God talking about? This is he, referring to Christ, he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. This is such a beautiful passage in verse 6, if we could have that on the screen. But we've got the water and the blood, and right away it reveals to us Jesus' entire ministry. That when Jesus began his public ministry, it was through being baptized, right? Jesus didn't need baptism. He was without sin. There was no sin to be washed away. Baptism needed Jesus. And in being baptized, Jesus identified himself. He, the perfect one, identified himself with you and me, the sinner. And then he made his journey those next 3 years headed to the cross. Never stumbling into sin once, never sinning once. And then, of course, the blood is reference to Jesus' sacrifice at the cross, where he died for the sins of all people, including yours and mine. It's a done deal. Remember, Jesus said at the cross, "It is finished," meaning it has been completed for all time. There's no other work necessary to be done for salvation. Christ has done everything that was necessary. And so these two events prove with special force that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, that he truly is the Son of God who has come. And through him alone, and it's totally his work alone, that we receive the victory over sin, death, and Satan. And so we live victoriously, but it can only be in and through Christ who has saved us. And of course, it's through faith that we receive all those blessings, and faith a gift from God. And we receive those blessings of life, and with that, empowerment. We are empowered by God as his people, as we live under and in his favor. We are empowered then to have the desire to want to fulfill his will in our lives. Can we do it perfectly? No. We fall greatly short of that. But in this faith that is within us, this new life God has given us, we have the desire from within, motivated by love, to want to honor and serve God with our entire lives. Now that's quite different from living under the law and all of its demands. So the motivation is the gospel. And we are blessed to know the truth of God's unconditional love. And we have been changed totally and empowered by God to want to serve him. Did you hear it earlier in this reading? His commandments are not burdensome. You see, if we were going to be condemned by failing to fulfill them, that would be a huge burden. But through Jesus, we are no longer living under the law in the sense that the law condemns us, but we live in God's favor. And we can have the freedom then to serve him. I love Ephesians 2:10. Really defines what our life on this earth is all about. We are God's workmanship. He has created you and me individually. He has given us gifts, talents, and abilities that are individual and unique to each one of us. And note that God has done that for a planned purpose. This is just incredible that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is an honor that God entrusts to us the work of his kingdom. And he honors you and me to serve him, and it's with works that God prepared beforehand. This is a well-planned out plan that God has for every one of our lives. Think about that. How honoring that is, that the Almighty God would be that invested in each one of our individual lives. And God's saying, hey, I've got some wonderful work for you to do. And it's the Almighty God entrusting that to you and me. And so that's not a burden. That's a joy. That's an honor. It's like, wow, God is actually entrusting this work to me, and I get to go out and serve God who loves me. And we also live under his protection. Isn't that cool? We live always under God's protection. You know, when Jesus, and we could put that up now, John 17, but when Jesus prayed that high priestly prayer, and you see the words there again about not taking us out of the world, but protecting us in the world, Jesus was praying for the apostles at that moment. But then you read a few verses down, and Jesus goes on to say, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Who does that include? Every one of us in this room. Do you ever think about that? That Jesus continues to pray for you and me? And we see this from Jesus' human nature as true man. He prays on our behalf for our well-being, for our protection, because God knows the vulnerabilities that we live in this world. And unlike us, Jesus overcame every temptation known to man. I love Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Look at that. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Isn't that awesome? Jesus knows our weaknesses. He lived in this world as true man. He knows our vulnerabilities. And the Lord goes on to say, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And there's the good news. It's through Jesus' perfectness that we are declared right with God. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's the equipping. Through God's word, through his grace, through his love, received through faith, God not only protects us, but he empowers us to serve him and not give in to the vulnerabilities. That's victory. And then in conclusion, John chapter 10, Good Shepherd chapter. But look what Jesus says about his sheep, and sheep are all the believers. It's the church. And what does Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice, that's God's word, and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. We have eternal life in our possession now as his people. And look at this. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. What does that spell? Security. 100% security. That, yes, I know my weaknesses, I know my vulnerabilities, and I'm not proud to say I give in to those from time to time. I'm forgiven, but the Lord protects me as he protects you through them, and he delivers us from them. We are secure. And so we can go out these doors again this morning in that security, knowing the vulnerabilities that are there, but as we live our everyday lives, we know there's someone always present with us. Jesus says, I am with you always, and I love the picture we have this morning to show that. But that's our life. That's you in that little child. That's me. And wherever we go, we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our presence. He's overseeing and guiding and protecting our lives. And as Angela shared with the kids, empowering us to be vulnerable in a certain way, and that is to love others as Christ has loved us. And there's a vulnerability in that because we can get hurt doing that. But all the same, we are called to do so. In the name of our Lord Jesus, who is with us, who has won the victory, who shares the victory, and who preserves it in our lives. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks and praise. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And we continue our worship this morning with the offering. And at this time, if you're able, I'd invite the congregation to stand as we praise God with the words of the Te Deum found on page 223. We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To you, seraphim and seraphim continually do cry. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of the majesty of your glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise you. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise you. The noble army of martyrs praise you. The Holy Church throughout all the world does acknowledge you. The Father of an infinite majesty, an adorable, true, and only Son. Also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. You are the King of glory, O Christ. You are the everlasting Son of the Father. When you took upon yourself to deliver man, you humbled yourself to be born of a virgin. When you had overcome the sharpness of death, you opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You sit at the right hand of God in the glory of the Father. We believe that you will come to be our judge. We therefore pray you to help your servants, make them to be numbered. Numbered with your saints in glory everlasting. And Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And dear Lord God, we come before you in prayer, knowing that you hear our prayers and that you respond to them in accordance to your gracious will. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful new life that you give us in faith, and with it the security of everlasting life. Lord, may we look out upon a very dark and evil and corrupted world due to sin and reach out to those who are separated from you. Lord, we pray for those who are deceived by the deceptions of Satan and this world and by their sinful flesh. And Lord, we pray your intervention. Use us as your instruments, as your mouthpiece, Lord, to be able to share the good news of your love with those who do not know you. May we do it first with our actions and attitudes, the way that we approach life on this earth. And may that then win a hearing to share your word of truth. Lord, we know that your word does not return void, and give us confidence then in sharing it. Lord, we pray for missionaries here and throughout the world who are out there, some in very dangerous, very uncomfortable places, and they are faithfully there sharing and living your truth. Lord, we especially hold up to you today Roy Askins, who is the Director of Communications for Missions in the Asia region of the world. And we pray especially, Lord, today as that group and that part of the world are searching for a regional director and a regional business manager. Lord, we pray that through this organized missionary effort, that your word will be heard by many who have not heard before. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for an honor flight that is on its way to D.C. again today. And Lord, on that airplane are many veterans who put their lives on the line for the wonderful freedom that we are blessed to still enjoy in this land. Lord, we pray your blessings upon this group as they travel to D.C. and give them safe travel, bless their experiences shared together, and Lord, we pray that you would bring them safely home to us. Lord, we thank you for those who organize these flights and for Sherry Karsten, one of our own here at Trinity, who is involved in the organization process. Lord, be with them, be with all of our men and women in uniform. We pray that you would continue to surround them with your protection. And Lord, that you would bring them safely home to us. We ask the same, Lord, that you would be with our first responders, all those who are putting their lives on the line to save others, those who are running into danger when other people are running away from it. Lord, be with them and protect them and give them your wisdom. Oh Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for all the names that are listed in the bulletin this morning. You know each and every one of these precious people of yours. We thank you, Lord, that Janet Roth returned home last Thursday. We pray your blessings upon Janet, her husband Alvy, as they transition into receiving care in their home. Lord, we thank you for Dean Rodell, who was able to be at the memorial service yesterday. And we pray that you will continue to give him renewed strength and healing. Lord, we ask your blessings on Dan Jesmanek as he goes back and hopefully gets the pins taken out of his wrist. Those have been causing him so much pain, and that will happen on Tuesday. Lord, we pray for Jim Dill as he is now at Fair Acres Nursing Home, and just be with him and his wife Janice going through this tremendous transition in their lives. Lord, for all those who suffer in any way, also Twyla Geisert. Twyla has had some major physical issues in her past history, and some of those are rising up again in her body. And Lord, we pray that you would give Twyla and her husband wisdom as they seek out the medical counsel that they need so that intervention can happen for healing. But Lord, ultimately, we know that you are the great physician. We pray your comfort on this whole family as they go on this journey together. Oh Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for all of the family of Paul Hanselman and for the family of Mark McKinley's mother, for the family of Amanda Teener's grandmother, as all of these families go through this time of grief in losing their loved ones so dear to them. Lord, be with these families, uphold them, and in the face of death, may they see ever so clearly, Jesus, the victory that you have won. You are the resurrection and the life, and you proved it by the empty tomb. Be with them and comfort these families, Lord. O Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray for our school, especially preschool at this time, as we are looking for a new preschool director. Lord, we pray that you would reveal to us the person that you desire to serve in that capacity here. We thank you for Katie and her faithful service, and we pray your blessings as she opens a new chapter in her life in pursuing a different position. Be with her, Lord, and bless her in that journey. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank and praise you for the absolute wonderful moisture that you have brought to our area and came in such a beautiful way. We thank you, Lord. What a visible lesson from you to us, that you are aware of our needs and that you graciously respond to them. And we give you thanks and praise. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your almighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Go now in his peace. God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and go in God's peace and serve the Lord.